for a lot of people watching the press conference last night, when they heard the news that there was not going to be an indictment, I think a lot of folks reacted with great sadness, but maybe not really surprise. I was wondering how you felt when you heard the news.
I wasn't surprised, but still devastated. I think I told myself that I thought this was going to be the outcome, and still totally heartbroken over it. And it's interesting because this has happened several other times where there hasn't been justice in situations like this. And each time I think I'm going to be a little less heartbroken, and that's not the case. So wasn't surprised and totally devastated by it.
And so in response, you and others in the community are organizing a vigil for Wednesday. Tell me about that and what you hope to see come out of that.
Well, when I found out, I was actually with Alderman Siles, Damon Siles, and we sort of started to talk about what we might do. And after the verdict came out in response to Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman, I held an event at Town Hall that focused on like creating a different space and community and just a place for people to come and talk about their different feelings about this and also to have some introduction around an analysis of race. Because this is not an isolated event. And so I think this will be a little bit different in that it will be a vigil in honoring Michael Brown and the other brown and black men and people who are killed and were treated unjustly. And we're going to have, I'm going to speak, I'm hoping that Sammy Slade will speak as well. And then we're going to have CJ speak too. He grew up here, and so we feel like he can localize the issue a little bit more than we can because he's lived here his whole life. We just want to bring people together and create space and really name what led us to this place, because I think it's easy to say this is an isolated event or to focus on things like why are they burning the building or why are they setting the car on fire, and I think those are distractions. Like, the deal is we are here because of institutional and cultural racism and unjust policies and laws, and I think that we want to have a space where that's named and then a space where people can start to heal and understand what mess we're in.
And so you touched on it briefly, but I'm curious if you could expand on the idea of how you think this act of coming together gives you hope for change.
Well, I'm not sure I'm actually in a place where it is giving me hope for change. I think it was more a way to respond and to think about my role as an elected official and my identity as a community member in Carrboro and my identity that is much more salient as a woman of color, thinking about what can I do to create space for people to be able to come together to talk about what's happened, and I think really to hear from other people about what they would like to see happen in response. So I think it's the first step. Perhaps there will be other community conversations after this. That would be my hope for it. I guess I'm going to connect to hope. That would be the hope for it. Because I think we come together for a vigil or a conversation and it's over until something like this happens again. So I'm hoping that this will prompt some sustained effort around what it means to have conversations about oppression and privilege in our community and around how this actually does apply to our community. Because it's also easy for us to say, well, that happened in Ferguson or that happened in Florida, or instead of saying this kind of thing could happen here, and certainly racism does happen here, even if we do not have this example of a brown child getting shot and left in the street for 4.5 hours.
I think that's a good point, because I see that many people, their heart's in the right place, but maybe they do recognize that they live in a bubble. So I'm curious, what else do you want folks to know as they think about coming to this event, preparing themselves mentally and physically to come and discuss?
Well, one thing that I think is really important for people to understand is the way that we think this impacts us in the same way, and I actually think for people of color, this is very different in my experience than it is for white people in our community, and that is not to be antagonistic or to set up some binary or dichotomy. I mean, it's already present because of racism existing and privilege existing. I think that I would love for people to have an understanding of that, so what I might get out of it is going to be very different than what Alderman Slade might get out of this experience. And what I need around healing related to racism is different than what he needs to do in response to racism. So that's an assumption that I'm walking into this vigil with, and I want people to understand that. I also want people to understand that it is a first step, and that there are many other people in the community doing work who have done work for many years related to racism and anti-racism work. And so this is just part of it, and I want people to think about being in this for the long haul and being invested in this for the long haul. So that's another hope or assumption I would like people to show up with. And I think sometimes people jump to the, what are we going to do about this, and the problem solving before we actually understand the problem. And so I hope people understand that as well. Like, we don't even understand the layers of complexity that have led us to this space. We know some things, and we certainly, if we don't understand them, then we certainly don't know how to have conversations about them. So I just think it's going to take a long time to understand what the problem is, because it's pretty complex and deep. And again, tomorrow is the beginning, so I hope people adjust their expectations about what that space will be and commit to a process long term. And we will offer some resources at the end. I'm a trainer for Dismantling Racism Works, and Dismantling Racism Works provides community trainings, as does the Racial Equity Institute. And so there are people in the community, and we're going to let people know, if you'd like to have an understanding of how racism operates institutionally and culturally, this is a beginning point, and we'll give them the training information. So that's one tangible thing that people can leave with.
It sounds to me like you're talking about a fundamentally different type of conversation than a memorial service.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think there is a place for a memorial service, and that's certainly part of it, to honor, and then also to be like, what are we in? Who's showing up? How are we showing up? How does this relate to our community? So it's an adjunct or an addition to a memorial or honoring Michael Brown and the other brown and black kids that have been killed or unjustly treated. It is a step in a process.
Well, I think that those are all the questions I had for you. Do you feel like there's other aspects we need to talk about?
I think that just the vigils at 6:30 tomorrow night at Town Hall, and I hope lots of people come out and or tell their friends about it and people about it. I think it's important for us to talk about these issues here, because there is the mentality that we do live in a bubble and that we're immune to oppression, and we're certainly not. And I think it's also a way that people can show up, because, you know, people are posting all over Facebook, and that's great. Like, we can do, it's a quick way to let people know information, and it's different when we're face-to-face and seeing each other. Like, that's where change happens. So I just encourage people to show up in whatever way they can. And if they can't show up to ours tonight, I think there's one in Durham tonight. There's one in Asheville tonight. So I just encourage people to get involved and invested.